The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's December 5th, 2022. Wow, the year's getting close to the end. To be rebroadcast on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org on December 7th, 2022. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment below. I may be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bless you, Fran, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can leave a comment down below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk, bicycletalk@gmail.com. I'm recording my shows on Monday now, and then on Facebook Live, and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday on 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores at 11 a.m. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast outlet. Ron's Rant of the Week. Yep, it's the F-250 pickup truck, the electric one. It's back with the big hype and push on electric vehicles. Meaning the automobile and transportation industry, considering the weight of these vehicles and the impact they will have? More in the show. That's the teaser. Always a shout out, positive side to Billy Too Tall Dujack and Laura Mullaly. Best wishes from Fran and I for speedy recoveries. Hope to see you this week at Nationals. Cool. Hey, speaking of Nationals, Cross Nationals is coming to Hartford starting tomorrow, right here in Hartford, Connecticut. A short 30 miles from where we are broadcasting the show right now, or recording the show right now. So very, very close by. I was out last week helping with Nationals, course setup, that sort of thing. Anyway, Cross Nationals are coming to Hartford starting tomorrow. I'll talk more about this in the show. Shout out to all of you who signed up to help. Smart move. You got a free admission out of the deal. And I think there's a little prize pack, too. That's what they were telling me. But I haven't seen mine yet. Anyway, I'm off to the park this afternoon to meet with Lori Riley from the Hartford Current and others after the show. So, and then there'll be lots more stuff going on. Anyway, more in the show. We'll talk a little more about that in the show. Nationals are exciting to me. Very exciting because it's the second time we've actually had them here in Hartford, Connecticut. And it's kind of a near and dear to my heart thing. I put a race on there for 3 years. It's a cool place. It's a cool venue. Definitely works. Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. What constitutes a good ride leader?
Oh my goodness.
Ah, there we go. I figured I would poke the hornet's nest here today. A ride leader is making a non-monetary contribution by giving back to the bicycle club they belong to and a commitment to the riders to promote the positive aspects of cycling as well as a positive impression of the bicycle club for which they are associated with. I'll have more in the show. That quote came from a site we will go to. Has some pretty good information about being a ride leader. Kind of a cool thing. I think everyone should be a ride leader. It's not that hard. Anyway, excuse me. I know that it is difficult for some people, but we're going to move on. We're going to go into the show. That will fall into my cycling tips section of the show, but we're going to begin with the rant, the F-250 Ford pickup truck. The electric Ford F-150 weighs 6,500 pounds, 35% more than the gas model. Okay, this is actually the 250. They're calling it a 250 or a 150. It doesn't really matter. This is the electric vehicle. 6,500 pounds. I want you to take your vehicle that you are currently riding around in and multiply that by whatever, and it's a lot more than a bicycle. Anyway, critics charge that it'll wear down roads, cause more damage and crashes, create greater danger overall for pedestrians and other drivers. What do you think? The electric Ford 150 weighs 6,500 pounds, 35% more than a gas model. road wear is kind of the least concern. Class 8 trucks are the ones that do the real damage. So a Class 8 truck is a very large delivery truck, tractor trailer truck, that sort of thing. It's definitely, you're getting into much larger thing, but this is the most popular truck in America, not to mention the most popular vehicle in America. It weighs 6,500 pounds. All right. So whether, if you're a pedestrian, whether you're 120 pounds or 250 pound pedestrian, and you get hit by a 5,000 pound truck or a 6,500 pound truck, it's like being hit by a female or male African rhinoceros. Physics tell me that it doesn't make much of a difference. So more damage to other drivers, more damage in crashes, you're getting closer. More mass means more kinetic energy. So this might impact other vehicles, but the F-150 Lightning has better crumple zones and no engine and no transmission, being the battering ram. Just some empty space and maybe some, in many cases, compressible cargo in the front. Most likely this will offset the additional weight. Ford should think about potentials in order to reduce the weight of future models. Currently, it was more important than that it looks like an F-150 and feels like an F-150 with the benefit of being quicker and cleaner. It's just, it's a death machine. Once again, the American automobile industry is designing vehicles that are safer and safer and safer for those inside of the vehicle, not so much for those outside of the vehicle. There's a lot more you guys got to do before you catch my attention as far as being safer, because you're missing the boat here. This vehicle will also be, as Fran and I both drive hybrid vehicles, this vehicle will be very quiet when it's when it's cruising through a parking lot or just, you know, going at legitimate speeds where there are crosswalks. It is going to be quiet as a mouse. It's going to make a little musical tune like mine does, and I believe Fran's does that too. All the new vehicles are required to do that, but it still sneaks up on people. And I had someone in a parking lot a couple of weeks ago who, he just like jumped back when my car came out of the parking lot. I wasn't going to hit him. I wasn't really anywhere near him, but he wasn't looking for me because he really didn't hear me. So that is a problem. That is a definite problem. I think we're in for more excitement and discussion in future years. We'll see where this all goes. Okay, because we are making a big push there. So what else have I got here? Okay, what else is on the show? USA National Cyclocross Championships, USA Cycling. Hey, here we go. We're back to Hartford. I was out there last week. I was helping a crew that came up from North Carolina, and we were putting stakes in the ground, and they showed me some kind of cool things about making straight lines in cyclocross courses. Kind of cool. But anyway, had a lot of discussion. We're having a lot of fun, you know, talking about the races promoted. And this particular gentleman, Tim, I believe was his name, promotes a huge series down in North Carolina. And shout out to Tim. He kind of owns the North Carolina cyclocross scene. So good guy, knows his stuff, a lot of fun to work with. We had a lot of fun. And I was out there both Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. Wednesday started out dry but turned into a washout, so was only there for half a day. But we got a lot done. We got a lot of stakes put in place. Got the course pretty much laid out as the rain started to come on. And then they just said, you guys should just go home. We don't need to have you around anymore, because it was getting a little wet out there. So shout out to my friend Dave Wahlberger, who was there on Tuesday helping. And that's always nice. Well, Dave volunteers for anything that has anything to do with cycling or running. So that's kind of his thing. He's just, he is the volunteer's volunteer. I'll call him that. How's that? Yeah. Is that a good way of putting it, Fran?
And he likes pastries and coffee.
Yeah, he likes pastries and coffee. Fran rides her bike with Dave all the time. He's on his bike more than he's not. So that's,
he's my friend.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's one of my best friends.
So anyway, he was out helping with the cyclocross race and putting that together. And the beauty of the cyclocross race is if you volunteer, okay, if you volunteer, you get free entry and free parking to the event for the entire week. So if you haven't volunteered yet, yes, there are still some slots open. And I think I have right here a list for you of what there is left and available. It is really, you know, all the early stuff has, all the setup has pretty much filled right up. That's all done. On the 5th of the month, which is today, 4:15 p.m., there is a course marshal position. I don't know why there would need to be a course marshal today. But anyway, we'll see. I'll find out. I'll be out there shortly after I do the show. Registration setup is full there. Gate on 12/5. There's also a gate opening for someone who, actually there are four openings for someone to watch the gate. Both this morning and this afternoon. So I guess that you are not going to be able to get into the park other than going through the parking lot. So that's what this is looking like anyway. I will double check that to be sure. I'll let you know. Well, I'll let you know because I'm going to go there and I'm going to probably produce a couple of videos out there today just to kind of give you a general idea of what's going on. I posted a couple last week on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, so if anyone was paying attention to that, you'll see that there were some new steps that were built into the hillside down near the river. Super heavy duty. Those suckers aren't going anywhere. They're going to stay there for a long time. They're a little challenging to navigate. We'll see how that all works. There's one big step, and you know, when I was walking, I was down there with Chris Hayes from Riverfront Recapture, which is basically the sponsoring organization for the Nationals this year. And as we were going up that, there's one step that I looked at him and said, is that 15 inches? And he goes, yeah, it is. It's all to spec. But it was a big step. So that one's going to hurt. And that's what I said when we hopped up this little stepway. I just popped up that last little step there, or next to last step. And I looked over and I said, that one's going to hurt. And you'll know what I'm talking about if you're participating in the race this week, because by about your third or fourth lap, you're going to go, oh, God, that one really hurts. You'll see. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's, you got to put a lot of lift into the leg, and when the legs are a little cooked because you've been racing on them all you know, morning or afternoon doing laps on your course, you're going to see that set of steps is going to be critical. That's gonna hurt. Anyway, but you know, it's cyclocross, so these things happen. Hey Billy. Hey Justin. How are you? Nice to see you guys. Let's see what else. So, other things that are available if you are interested in volunteering. We got, setup. It's all full there. The gate on 12/6, there are four slots available still. The gate on, in the morning and in the, also in the afternoon on 12/6. So that would be more things going on there. All the course marshal places have been taken at that point. The gate on 12/7 again, and the gate on looks like 12/7 is still there. Still a few slots left. Course marshals on 12/8 need lots of them. Lots. I'm talking like a ton of positions are available there. I see some friends of mine that are on that list, which is kind of cool to see. Great to see people volunteering to the sport that they love. You know how I rant about this endlessly on this show. It's very important to give back to your sport. 12/8, again, more openings. And then 12/9, more openings. So, you know, there's still places there. And if you are looking for the link for this, go to the Bicycle Talk Facebook page. You'll find the link there as you scroll down, and you'll see a way of getting right into the amazing volunteer sign up sheet program. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. If you are putting on an event yourself, there's a way that you can also set up your own event on there. It's kind of a neat little system they have. So anyway, That's what I got. That's what I got as far as that goes. So we're going to click that out and go away on that one and come back here. So let's see. What else have I got? Yeah, let's talk about the weather. All right, because, you know, cyclocross is sort of a weather kind of thing. So I pulled up the weather, the 10-day forecast for Hartford, Connecticut. As we know, none of this is actually real because we have a pretty good idea what the weather is going to be, but we never seem to have a really great idea of what the weather is. So anyway, it's something about New England. And if you don't like the weather, wait a minute and you'll get something different. It looks like on Tuesday, we're going to get some afternoon or evening showers. 57 degrees as a high, 53 as a low. Kind of balmy for this time of year for us. Wednesday, same thing, 46 on the low and 58 on the high, rain. And they're talking 87% chance of rain on Wednesday, 58% on Tuesday, by the way. Thursday, there will only be an 8% chance of rain, low of 32, high of 53. So again, not so bad. There is going to be a north-northwest wind coming out at 12 miles an hour. You're going to feel that. But that's kind of typical for this time of year. So Friday is partly cloudy with a 24% chance of moisture by the looks of things here. Saturday, same 24% chance of moisture. High of 39 on Saturday. And the lows on Friday and Saturday, well, actually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all go down to freezing. So that could add some icier conditions or some, they won't be super icy because it's not that cold yet. When we get down to the single digits, we get serious ice. But anyway, so Saturday and Sunday, the two championship days, 24% chance of showers on Saturday and 14% chance of showers on Sunday, which is the elite juniors, women's, and men's field day. That's what's going on. That's what's going on as far as the weather goes for Hartford for the Nationals. Thought that would be kind of a fun thing to bring up. Bring your raincoat. Bring your umbrella. Mostly bring your enthusiasm and your cowbell if you're coming to watch, because it's like, this is fun. This is good stuff. It's the Nationals. We don't get this here every year. But we have had it here twice now. The last time was in 2017. So we are kind of showing a pattern here. I was very interested. I got to spend some time with Chris Hayes from Riverfront Recapture last week. And so we went around, we walked around the course for a little bit and we had a nice chat. And I said something to him about Nationals. And boy, how did you guys secure the bid for Nationals? He said, they came to us. So that's encouraging. That means that USA Cycling had such an incredible experience in 2017. And if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. We had every weather pattern you could possibly have in New England in 5 days. We had it all. We had snow, we had ice, we had severe cold, we had pouring down rain at 40 degrees, we had the whole selection, we had the whole thing. And it was truly one of the more challenging courses and venues I've seen as far as a national event went. So very cool. They came to us. Very, very cool. I'm so, so psyched. Yeah, Kim, incredible experiences, right? Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Kim, I saw you were racing this past weekend, by the way. We had a couple of races that happened over the weekend, the last two races before Nationals. The Ice Weasels was, I believe, on Saturday. They had a huge turnout.
She was there.
Yeah, she was there. I saw her name on the list. They had a huge turnout. They had almost 500 riders show up, or at least signed up on Bike Reg. So pretty good turnout for the Ice Weasels. I don't know if they've ever had that many people, but it's the week before Nationals.
That's a funny name.
It is. It's called the Ice Weasels Cometh. That's what it is. That's it. And they have Jedi women and Jedi men in it. It's very funny. Yeah, it's very funny. It's got a lot of character in that race. That's a lot of fun. So anyway, It's in Massachusetts. Oh. You'll have to look it up. I'm not going to do that right now. But anyway, and then the Governor's Guard was the last of the Connecticut Series races, and they had about 250 people signed up for that. It was primarily kind of focusing more towards the kids on that one, although they did have other categories there too. We've got nationals coming up, and so we'll see what happens. Currently, who's registered for nationals? Currently, as of this morning, when I checked event registration, I saw 1,609 people signed up. It's in Southwick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Right over the Granby line.
Right.
That would be.
Yeah.
Currently registered for nationals in Hartford, 1609 is what I have right now. That seems a little light to me. I looked over the registrations. I think I have that. Do I have that here? No, I do not. I think I might put it away. More, maybe I did. That's 458. This is okay. Yeah. So it looks like, and again, this is by the by Bike Ridge. I'm looking at 1609. And Tuesday, the entries, this is the non-championship race, so it's a doesn't really count race, but, you know, great way to warm up and get to know the course and get a good feel for it. There's no prize for the non-championship race, no national prize as far as that goes. I don't know what they're doing otherwise, but it looks like the entries, the heaviest entries on that race are men's 50 plus, non-championship race, 42 entries, 21 for entries for the 40 to 49s. So the numbers are a little on the low side here. But you know, for anybody who wants to go out and warm up the course, it's there and it's available. And that is tomorrow. I don't know if I will be out there tomorrow or not. I have not made that decision yet. I will definitely be there on Wednesday, and the reason I will be there on Wednesday is because the Wednesday races are the Masters races, lots of Masters races. Women's Masters, do they have a time on this, or I have to look at my other schedule, probably have to look at my other schedule, not here. So it's first one in the, I think it's the first one in the morning, but anyway, we've got Women's Masters 30-34, Men's Masters 30-34, and then 35-39. And then there's also Men's and Women's Masters 60-64, 65-69, 70-74, 75-79, and 80+. And women and in men's, there's even masters that are 70 to 74, all the way up to 90+. So is Saul coming out and racing?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and then also masters 65 to 69. That's my personal race of interest because that happens to be my age group, which I am not racing in. But my friend Dave Rustico, a former national champion current national champion from 2022, is going to be there, or 2021, right? I got to remember how these years work out. He is going to be racing in that. And I'm going to see him this afternoon, possibly getting him an interview with the Hartford Current also, which is kind of cool. So there's going to be lots of people in this race that I know, and there are a number breakdown. So that's going to be on Wednesday. And then Thursday, there are yet more. Collegiate women, let's see, Masters Women 50-59, Masters Women 50-54, Masters Women 45-49. So there's quite a little breakdown. Again, if you go on to the Bike Ridge site, you can look at who's registered, and it'll give you not only numbers listing, but it'll also show you who the actual people are. Their names are listed there. On Friday, there's a non-championship women's race for age. That makes no sense. 11 to 22. That makes no sense at all. Women. Same for men, non-championship. So I'm not sure what that is. Maybe that's like a novice thing. I don't understand. But then we have more Masters men's races going on that day. There's a collegiate team relay going on that day on Friday, a non-championship mixed team relay. That's kind of, was kind of fun. Men and women together in a relay on the course. That's kind of cool. And then more masters races, 50 to 54 and 55 to 59. Non-championship industry men. That's for anyone who is in the bicycle industry who wants to go out and race in a national event, which is kind of fun. And then they also have one for women. These are all Saturday morning on those two. And then also Saturday is what it has. I'm not sure if it's the morning or not. The juniors racers are, it's starting to fill in pretty good all of a sudden. I looked at this a couple of days ago and it was like, where are all my juniors? Oh, we have this great junior advancement program here in Connecticut. I expect to see a lot of juniors at the races. So I plan on being there. It seems like most of the juniors races were in the morning and I'm hoping to be there for that. And then I'm meeting my sister for a basketball game in the afternoon for the UConn. I think UConn women are playing that afternoon. Anyway, or maybe it's the men out in stores. I can't remember, but I know I have a game. But there's a lot of juniors races going on that day, so I will catch the morning, not the afternoon. And then we get into Sunday, and that's when we go to Sunday is when we have the junior elite races, and both men's and women's, the U23, both men's and women's, and the elite women and the elite men. There is also on Sunday a 10 and under non-championship fun lap, which are already 33 people signed up for, 33 kids. Very cool. So Sunday's kind of a fun day. It's the highlight day. It's the end of the entire nationals presentation. So that'll be fun. I will certainly be there for that. I can't wait. I'm going to try to provide you guys with, guys and girls, with video footage whenever I can when I'm out there. So I'm going to play around with that a little bit. If you stay tuned to my Facebook Live page, you will find either short clips or maybe some longer ones too. But I do plan on being out there and recording some of this. So, and maybe giving you a little bit of commentary. And I promise you this time, I shouldn't promise this, but anyway, the last time I was out there at Nationals 2017, I did do a video broadcast from the inside of a porta potty because it was the only place that was
right,
dry.
I remember that.
The only place that wasn't raining was inside the porta potty. So I did a short blurb inside of a porta potty. I might have to bring that back just because that was fun. That was just kind of a fun, goofy thing to do. Another cool thing about this event, if you have never been to Riverfront Park, Riverfront Park houses a huge boathouse, and that boathouse is where there's a lot of sculling that happens on the river in Hartford, and that's where a lot of the boats are stored inside this giant boathouse. And there's a big clubhouse room upstairs. That's where they'll do the indoor registration and all that. It's a gorgeous building, and it overlooks the Connecticut River and overlooks the Founders Bridge, and it's very pretty. But they are going to be running the course through the bottom of the boathouse, which is kind of cool. So if it's a nasty, ugly, rainy day and you don't want to be out and watching the race, you can just go in the boathouse and you can cheer people on when they go through. But I would think that space is going to be limited at that point. Kind of a cool thing. So anyway, you gonna swap your bike for a boat, Kim? Yeah, there you go. Nah, you don't need to do that. You don't need another sport, Kim. You got enough. You're good. You're good. Just stick with what you got. So anyway, good stuff. Really, really good stuff. I am so excited. It's Nationals. This is great. This is just, you know, this is, I live for this stuff. And it's just, you know, cyclocross, I have a certain, you know, soft spot here for it because I introduced cyclocross to the state of Connecticut back in 1983. We had never had a race in the state up until that point when I put on a race out at Mansfield Hollow, which is, you can see the shirt I'm wearing right now. This is a sweatshirt from the Mansfield Hollow race from last year. And, you know, this is what we call the coveted hoodie. So if you win the race, if you podium and you get first place, you get a hoodie that go along with it. And I have some people I have a woman who comes every year who says she has a closet full of them because she's very good and she's been doing it for so long. She likes to collect Mansfield Hollow hoodies. So that's kind of fun. So what have I missed here? Who to watch? There's a who to watch here also. I figured I'd throw that in there because you never know. You know, this actually is going to come from, this is coming from, open me up here, boom. This comes from Flow Bikes and a reporter by the name of Rebecca Reza. And, you know, she's got a little preview of the race right here. USA Cycling Cyclocross National Championships returns to Hartford for the first time since 2017. Racing begins on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, December 6th, with amateur categories. Flow Bikes, which is who this woman is reporting from, will air the races live beginning with the Masters on Friday, December 9th through Sunday, December 11th. Junior categories will take place on Saturday with both men's and women's elite riders previewing the course before Sunday's finale, where the elite men and women's 2022 USA Cycling National Cyclocross Championships champions will be crowned. This year's nationals take place at Riverside Park, 2.2-mile course. It is a long course. It's a little over 2 miles. Featuring newly added sand pit for the first half of the course shortly after passing for the pit for the first time. I'm going to tell you something about that sand pit. Unless they get a big hair dryer out there to dry it out, it's going to be pretty hard packed. I just, you know, once it gets moistened, it's just not going to be nearly as much fun as it would be if it was big open beach sand, dry sand. But that's all right. That's all right. That's what it is. And they ship some sand in to make this pit, and it's in the middle of the woods, which is kind of cool. So if you're going out to watch the race, I strongly encourage you to, you know, walk fully around the course so you get a really good overview of what's going on, because there's a bunch of little features along the way. Places like sand pits where people are really struggling to get through and their bikes are going back and forth and occasionally they fall down. And places like that are the places where you go with your cowbell and go with intentions to heckle. Very, very important. Heckling is encouraged in cyclocross. We like it when people, you know, yell out and, you know, tell the riders that are running up the hill that the three riders before them just rode up the hill, what's your problem? You know, it's just stupid things. But, you know, it's fun. It's all fun. And that's the whole idea, is we want to have fun. We want to make this not just, you know, the national championship race, but also a fun time at the same time. And there's lots of fun things to do in Hartford. There's great food. There's just a lot of things going on. I believe, and I can report back about this later on today, that there are going to be a number of food trucks there. So there's going to be lots of food to eat on the course. They are currently, as I was told by Chris the other day, building a flyover. The flyover is interesting. Most flyovers that we've seen in the past, or many of the flyovers we've seen in the past, have been ramp up, ramp down. This one is stairs up, ramp down with a little twist, I was told. I don't know what the little twist is, but Chris told me he was keeping that a secret, and I said I would be out Monday to investigate. They've hired a professional scaffolding company to come in and do this because they wanted to be safe insurance-wise, so it should be a very interesting flyover. It's going to add a lot of character to the course that, you know, we had a flyover there in 2017. It was just a ramp up, ramp down, very quick. Wasn't a problem until it snowed. And when it snowed, it was like an icecapade at the bottom of it. So it got a little nasty. But anyway, it's going to be different this time. We'll see. We'll see. Always a good time to have a flyover. And the flyover is usually very, very close to, and in this case it is, associated to where the entrance is to the course after you've come over the highway. For those of you who have never been here before and are unfamiliar with the way this works, give yourself a little extra time when you get there because you will have to walk from the parking lot up a long staircase, or you can ride on the ramps up and over I-91 in Hartford and then down the other side. So it does take a little while to get on course. I would you know, highly recommend that you give yourself that extra time that you need. Even if you're not a competitor, but you're just a spectator and going there, give yourself a little extra time. And then you get to kind of take it all in. And when you get all the way up to the top of that ramp, and you're standing over the top of I-91 and all the traffic's going by, you can look out and you get a full overview of the course. Very cool. Very cool. This is a good place to have a cross race. This is a really, really great place to have a cross race. So anyway, so just so you know, the juniors on Saturday and the U23 women's category, so they'll race for 40 minutes, and the U23 men and elite women for 50 minutes. So depending on which race that you are in, let's see what else I have here. There are going to be Clara Hotzinger will be competing for a hat trick after successfully defending her elite women's title in 2021 after beginning the season with a win at the Trek Cup and two top 10 finishes in the U.S. World Cup races. EFF Education TIBCO rider went overseas to build upon her previous success in Europe over the past couple of years. Hotzinger will get a preview of her rivals at the Northern California Cross Infestation 1 week before in San Mateo on December 4th before the bi-coastal trip to Connecticut. Raylan Nuss is expected to compete after coming up just short at the event in 2021, finishing in second place. Nuss also finished second in the U.S. Cyclocross Series, USCS, behind the Netherlands' Caroline Mani and ahead of Austin Kilps in third. Kilps will be racing her second Elite Nationals after finishing just inside the top 10 amid anti-trans protesters at the Nationals last season. In the men's race, after a shakeup last season that saw Eric Bruner steal the title in a near photo finish from Curtis White, both are expected to take on the line again next week. So we'll see what happens, or this Sunday coming up. So we're less than a week away on that. Bruner enjoyed a stellar season in 2021, winning four UCI cyclocross races, including the Pan American Championships, all on U.S. soil. The current U.S. cross champion is in good form to defend his title after winning Pan American Cyclocross Championships for a second time in a row. White just celebrated winning the Elite Men Cyclocross Series and is hungry to better Bruner this time around. Expect a good race. That's all I can say. Just expect a really good race. So that's a little bit of what to expect when you get there. In addition to that, of course, if you are wandering around on the property, you'll see a lot of team tents set up, and you'll see a lot of local people there. Lots of folks from Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program will be there. A lot of our racers that we had out at our cyclocross race will also be there. Feel free to stop by, chat with them. If you want to know a little bit more about this, maybe you have a child that might be interested in getting involved in cross, or a grandchild, or someone that is neighbor, whatever, this is a great place to learn and a great place to get some contacts and figure out what you have to do to get more people involved into the sport, because this is a fun sport. The beauty of cross, and the reason why I get so excited about it, is because it does not require riding your bicycle on the road. Now, I am a dyed-in-the-wool road guy. I love riding my bike on the road, but I know that in recent years, because of, you know, some things that I reported earlier in the show, people are a little more hesitant to ride their bikes on the road because they're a little fearful of the safety issues that go along with that. Now, personally, if you choose your roads correctly and you ride smart, you can usually avoid most of that and still enjoy the passion of riding on the road. But a lot of times, parents don't want to get their kids involved in that because they're a little concerned about, you know, the safety issue. Cross is the answer. This is it. Yeah, mountain bike racing is out there. You can do that too. Mountain bike racing is very popular because of that. But cyclocross is, it's an event that's going to require a level of fitness that you're going to have to be very fit for 1 hour or less. And so the commitment to the The sport, as far as your fitness level goes, is a little bit less, and yet you can still have an awfully good time, and everybody has a good time. It's like you do your race, and there's a little party afterwards. So it has a lot of appeal. And I also am a strong believer in, I've talked to a number of people about this, when someone comes up to me because they know that I have a history of being involved in bicycle racing for a long time, and they come up to me and say, hey, Ron, I want to race my bike. What do I need to know? And, well, what do you want to do? You want to race in the mountain? You want to race cross? You want to race on the road? And I go, well, I want to race on the road. I go, okay, I can help you with that, but if you want my help, I require, very important, one season of cyclocross before you hit the road. And I'll either get the, nah, not interested, or I will get the, why would I do that? I don't want to do cross. Because you're going to learn more about how to ride a bike racing in cyclocross races than you will in any other discipline. And yeah, I know, mountain bikes, off-road, different, skinny tire, fat tire, totally different bike, totally different discipline, requires more road handling skills, even though you are doing a lot of off-road handling skills. It's a great combination. I've had riders come back to me after going through my program and thanking me a couple of years later for encouraging them to do cross for the first season before they got on the road. They said it just saved their butt a few times. You know, things happen very, very quickly when you're on a bicycle, and you have to be prepared for that. Cyclocross, things happen very, very quickly all the time. And you're always watching, you're always looking, you're always like remaining sharp. And it's just, it's a great way to learn how to really ride a bike. And you know what I always say, right, Franny? Everyone knows how to ride a bike.
Nobody knows how to ride a bike, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a Ronism. I've been saying that one for years. So anyway, that's what's going on on the national scene. How about the world scene? Matthew Vanderpoel. This is kind of funny. Wout van Aert was interviewed after racing in the Antwerp World Cup this past weekend, and he said Matthew was too fast. So Wout van Aert focused on second place at the Antwerp World Cup race. He was surprised. He said Wout van Aert said he was surprised to take second in his first cyclocross outing of the season, beaten only by an impressive Matthew Vanderpoel performance in the sand at Antwerp on Sunday. The Jumbo-Visma star finished fourth at the Road World Championships just 10 weeks ago and is back just after just 5 weeks of training competing for cyclocross honors. Vanderpoel, who started his cyclocross season a week earlier, rode away from his Belgian rival on the second lap of the World Cup event in Antwerp to win by 23 seconds. That's a huge win. That's a lot of time. That's a whole lot of time. However, Van Aert said later that he was satisfied with an unexpected podium finish at the top level of cyclocross on his first outing. What does that mean? That means that he's just warming up. We're going to have a good pro season. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff. If you're into watching this, there's some great ways to do it, watching online, and you can see some of the best cyclocross racing in the world. Moving on up to the qualifiers from USA Nationals, who are able to go to the Worlds because of that. So anyway, that's what's going on the world scene. There's pretty much a race almost every weekend. And you know, Van Aert, what did he say? He said he did crash when attempting to bunny hop barriers. Lesson to you on that bunny hopping thing. You know, even the best guys can go down hopping barriers. It's always faster to get off your bike. I know. I've seen the arguments. I've heard the arguments. But when you get off the bike, you have a much lesser chance of crashing or screwing up when you're going over the barriers. It's more consistent. So anyway, that's just my opinion. But I have a lot of opinions, as you all know by now.
Don't go there.
A little peanut gallery going on over here. So anyway, yeah, so that's what's going on in the world scene. There's just tons of stuff going on. This weekend, though, it's USA Cyclocross. Yay, rah, rah. I got more things to discuss here. We're not done yet. We still got another 15 minutes to go in the show. So let's move on to a little bit of advocacy. So this is kind of interesting. It was off of Street's blog, and it was where bikes won big at the polls last month. So obviously, November was a big voting month, and there were some things that were on the, what is Fran putting in front of my face? Is it something I can eat at least?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's I can't peanuts. Eat now, though. Oh, it's peanuts. It's the peanut gallery. There you go. So, of course, she had to do that. So let's just take a look at where bikes won big in the election month. So November 8th, we had $3.6 billion in local funding for new bicycle infrastructure, all of where were opportunities that People for Bikes, if that's peopleforbikes.org, tracked and raised awareness through their Vote for Bikes campaign. The money will go towards better on-street biking, walking infrastructure, new trail systems, park construction, and other active transportation improvements. The November election marks the culmination of our 2022 campaign, which saw a total of 42 successful pro-bike ballot measures representing $4.2 billion in new local bicycle infrastructure funds this year alone. So a few notable measures from across the country. Voters in Cook County, Illinois, increased funding by $380 million for country forest preserves, which boast 150 miles of paved trails and 200 miles of unpaved trails for riding. In Teton County, Wyoming, voters extended a penny sales tax, how about this, to approve 15 local projects, including two that will net $18 million for bikes over the next 6 years by creating safe routes to schools, as well as fund bike ped safety, signage, and other features in the town of Jackson. So good stuff there. Over in Wake Forest, North Carolina, voters supported a $14.4 million bond solely dedicated to improvements on three town greenways and the construction of nearly 5 miles of additional pathways. In Salt Lake City, Utah, voters approved an $80 million public land bond that will provide recreational opportunities and natural area protection with emphasis on several bike projects and trails. In voters in Salem, Oregon, supported a large municipal bond to fund critical infrastructure projects with a stated focus on multimodal needs and park improvements. At least $25 million in funding will be specifically dedicated to safer bicycle routes and crossings. And in San Francisco, California, the combined results of Measures 1 and J, I think is what that is, maintained car-free spaces on Golden Gate Park and Great Highway Park, two of San Francisco's significant routes for biking, walking, and active transportation. Funding for these measures and 35-plus others embodies the groundswell in community support for safer and more accessible infrastructure. Sorry to say it this way, but three cheers for COVID. You know, I mean, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I will definitely say that. And it's still going on. But it brought a lot of awareness to people as to, you know what? I think I'd rather ride my bike. I don't want to get on the bus. The bus makes me nervous. Too many people, closed in, that sort of thing. I ride my bike to work. My bike to work versus riding the bus to work is 5 miles. It's no big deal, right? Right? And it's going to be like, you know, in the open air and all that. So anyway, a big thank you to millions of you who are part of the success by voting, spreading the word, or simply riding in your hometown and demonstrating the importance of the infrastructure. Stay tuned in 2023 as People for Bikes continues to monitor local elections and build awareness around opportunities for better biking infrastructure. Get loud, get active. Yeah, anyway, we'll talk about that at the end of the show too. I close all my shows with the same thing. So anyway, yeah, this is the time to get your butt out there and get active. I'm going to bring up one last little thing here. I think I can fit in here to do this. So anyway, there was a diplomat that was killed down in Maryland, Bethesda, Maryland, I believe. Sarah Langenkamp. She was a U.S. diplomat, and she rode her bike everywhere with her husband Dan. They also have a couple little kids. She was unfortunately hit by a turning tractor trailer, right-hand turning tractor trailer truck. Classic unsafe behavior. But, you know, it's not her fault. She was struck and killed by a flatbed truck around 4 p.m. on August 25th while she and Dan rode home from their children's elementary school, according to county police. The Bethesda mother of two, who worked as a U.S. diplomat, was riding in a bike lane in the 5200 block of River Road at the time. In a bike lane, gets cleaned out by a truck. Why? Because there's nothing to keep the truck from crossing into the lane when they're making a right turn, and they're big. And there you have it. Never saw her and killed her, unfortunately. So why do I bring this up? So, because I think I had mentioned this in an earlier show. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Streets Blog has an essay here. Her husband, Dan, he's taken it upon himself to use this as a building tool for bicycle advocacy and education, bike ped education. And so anyway, starting right here, fatal flaws in the system. While some people might say her death was rare and even a freakish accident, what I have learned, this is her husband Dan writing this, has since is far different. Sarah actually fell victim to a worrying national trend. As cars and trucks become bigger, faster, heavier, and safer for those inside them, they are becoming more dangerous for those of us outside of them, particularly people that are walking and biking. The statistics bear this out. Last year was one of the most deadly in four decades for people walking in America. And 2020, the last year for which the data was available, was the most deadly for people bicycling since 1994, the first year for which the data is available. This worsening trend is taking place even as our peer nations make their own transportation systems safer and reduce fatalities. The United States, for instance, stands at a dismal 47th place in terms of pedestrian fatalities in a list of 54 industrialized countries. That's pretty nasty. Studied by the World Health Organization, our death rate among pedestrians in car truck crashes is more than 600% higher than the safest countries like Iceland, Singapore, and Norway. Our fatality rate is twice that of Canada. And so anyway, we know that bike lanes can be made safer with curbs and even plastic sanctions that separate bikers from car truck. We know that car traffic. We know that trucks with blind spot sensors, pedestrian bicycle detection systems, automatic emergency braking, or underride guards to prevent people from being crushed underneath trucks, as Sarah was, can save lives at a low cost. And we know that behind the wheel training for first-time drivers of Class A commercial vehicles who aren't currently required to have such training before they take control of these deadly machines is so important for public safety. Why have we not implemented these and other proven safety measures that are required in many other nations? Good question, Dan. So Dan is on this, and I am going to run out of time here, so I may have to cut this short, but we'll go on. It says here, to be fair, there is some encouraging movement as the Biden administration and the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, created the first ever National Roadway Safety Strategy to work toward making streets safe for everyone. It's a good start, but it's not enough. That is why Dan has organized the Ride for Your Life that was on November 19th, where riders retraced Sarah's route on the day that she died. And then they joined walkers in Pennsylvania Avenue and headed to the U.S. Capitol to hear from those of us who have lost loved ones due to unsafe traffic conditions. And Congressman Jamie Raskin, was there. It was the first event of its kind, pressing Congress to expand safety funding and asked the Department of Transportation to introduce long overdue truck safety measures. So, yeah, that's, you know, someone who's making a difference. Unfortunately, he had to lose a wife, a mother, and a loved one in the process. Really, really sad. But I'm glad to see that he is taking it in a positive direction. It's got to be really, really hard. Thank you, Dan. And we are certainly sorry for what you're going through right now. Okay, what do we got? Events. Well, this is obvious. The 2022 USA Cyclocross Championships in Hartford, Connecticut, December 6th through the 11th. Yep, starts tomorrow. The MADE, www.made.bike, a new industry and consumer bike event highlighting the craft of handmade bicycles, announced the first MADE show will take place from August 24th to the 27th at the iconic Rose Quarter in Portland, Oregon. So that's kind of cool. That's coming up next year.
Yeah, right now, Lloyd Center. That's right. Where Lloyd Center
so
is.
Right now in Hartford, if you're coming to Nationals, the bicycle game is on display, 1 Elizabeth Street in Hartford, Connecticut. That is at the Connecticut Historical Society. It's very interesting. It's really cool. I went out to their opening, and it's a neat thing. You definitely want to take this in if you are in Hartford for the events this weekend. It's a really nice segue of something to do. Finishing points. Continued shout outs to Too Tall Billy and Laura. Hey guys, see you at Nationals. I know I'll see you at Nationals, I'm sure. Don't forget about the bicycle game at the Connecticut Historical Society, the Ford F-250 Electric. How do you feel about that behemoth? The National Cyclocross Championships returns to Hartford, one of the most epic cross places I can ever remember. We got rain in the forecast. Yay! I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Remember, when presenting to your local governments, come with solutions, not complaints or problems. Positive beats negative every time. Please support your local bike shop. Respect one another. It's 2022. Initiate, participate, ride your bike, and tell everyone you know. And finally, take on the Pedal and Run Challenge. If you have a motorized vehicle, park it for a day and use your bike. Just one day a week. You might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live at the Bicycle Talk's Facebook page, you can leave a comment down here below, or you can send me an email if you're listening to this on audio, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you'd like to contribute information to the show, drop me an email. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you for listening. See you at Nationals. Bye-bye.